Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the hottest hour in internet radio. This is Dr. John, and you're listening to Comic-Con Stars and Conspiracy Theories 101. As I said, it's the hottest hour of internet radio you can imagine. We've got our wonderful panel tonight. First of all, from the world of wrestling, we have got Papa Stro Maestro. We've got Dave Atwell, the author of the Hunger series. And, of course, we have the one and only our guest, Pat Gwynn of Pat Gwynn at the Beach, syndicated radio show host for over 20 years. Pat, did I get that right? Over 20 years?
Yeah, I've been doing this radio thing since I was 13, so it feels like 100.
Oh, so it's over 100 years. Awesome.
It feels like it, I promise you.
Great. That's just great. Well, I tell you what, we've got some callers already waiting. Callers, if you'll let us get started, the first part of this show. Oh, and Papa Stro, welcome.
Oh, yeah, great to be here. I was doing the Carlton, listening to elevator music before I signed in. So yeah, I'm fired up. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, you better be. So I tell you what, the first thing that I want to announce, and this is very important. I decided, Papa Stro, you'll remember about 4 or 5 days ago, I said it is time that Comic-Con Stars is going to start the Papa Stro Maestro Fan Club. Now, let me ask you online, is that cool?
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I'm honored, really.
You are welcome. And I wanted to let everybody know that the first event of the Papa Stro Maestro Fan Club is going to be March 4th in Richmond, right after Papa Stro's match on GXW Wrestling, where he's wrestling Corey Bush. Corey gets another shot at the U.S. Heavyweight Championship belt that he lost, 2 months ago, Papa Stro?
Yeah, that's true. So it's the big rematch for the U.S. Championship.
Well, we're all going to be there, me and a lot of your fans. We've got an event posted on Comic-Con Stars. And so I will be there, your fans will be there, and everybody, I want to invite you to join us for that event, of course, at GXW Wrestling, GXW Arena. And then after the event, we're going to Dave and Buster's, one of my favorite places. And Papa Stro, I think you're a fan of Dave and Buster's too, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, after all, it does have Dave on it, and I'm, you know, Dave Atwell is my brother, so, you know, got to represent. So, yeah, absolutely.
That is the most amazing.
Too bad I don't have a partnership in that.
Right?
That is
get those royalties,
amazing.
No kidding.
All right, so we got that, and I'll remind everybody at the end of the evening that that's what we've got going on. Now, I tell you what, Conspiracy Theories 101 is going to start shortly. But tonight, as Papa Stro reminded everyone last night and online, we want to spend about the first short part of this show to honor the one and only, the great Ivan Koloff, the Russian Bear. I'm going to start with Dave Atwell. Papa,
yes, sir.
Ivan Koloff meant a lot to you in terms of wrestling, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And, again, you know, one of the guys that, you know, when I had first started watching wrestling back in, 1978, I think, is when we first got cable. And, you know, that was prehistoric cable. And we had gotten this wonderful channel called WTBS out of Atlanta that Ted Turner owned, and that was the most revolutionary channel. It supplied us with cartoons that weren't on a Saturday. It supplied us with Georgia Championship Wrestling, and also supplied us with the Atlanta Braves, and that's why still to this day I'm a huge Atlanta Braves fan. And so I've been watching the Braves since 78 just because they were on cable. But Georgia Championship Wrestling piggybacked Mid-Atlantic Wrestling, which is what I had come up on. And at the time, Mid-Atlantic Wrestling was Ric Flair, Greg Valentine, Wahoo McDaniel, Blackjack Mulligan, and of course Ivan Koloff. So, you know, watching the Georgia wrestling, eventually it all kind of came together under the house of the National Wrestling Alliance, NWA, and then which eventually kind of evolved into WCW. But, yeah, Ivan Koloff, my dad used to take me to the fights in Savannah, Georgia, when we were living in Parris Island, South Carolina. And, you know, I was 8, 9, 10-year-old kid, and we'd go out there and watch the fights live. You know, Ivan Koloff was always booed. I mean, he was the Russian guy and everything, and there was him and Nikita and Khrushchev, Killer Khrushchev was the other one. And, you know, you'd be in there booing the guy, carrying on. And I saw him fight the Iron Sheik with a Russian chain match one night. And I remember seeing the two, Ivan fight Wahoo in an Indian strap match. And I'm telling you what, those guys, you can carry on all day about, you know, wrestling being staged and the whole nine yards. Let me tell you, had you seen these guys' hides at the end of this match? I mean, they were beat red. Of course, there was a generous amounts of bodily fluids. I mean, then we're talking, you know, 1979, so we didn't have hazmat teams back then. But nevertheless, it was some good old-fashioned getting it on. And, you know, Ivan would get on there. And, you know, with just, you know, heavy Russian accent and everything. What an intimidating guy. But then when you meet him, you are just totally blown away with his class and his kindness. And, you know, you kind of, after you meet him, you walk away going, man, that can't be the same guy. You know, that's got to be a body double or something. You know, there's no way, you know. But what a fantastic good guy. And, you know, us folks down here in the South have a term we say quite often is a good people. If you ever hear somebody say, he's good people, that's just a way of saying that he's the type of guy that does the right thing regardless of rewards. And I knew him briefly and, you know, I had the opportunity to acquaint myself with him and everything, I tell you, yeah, it's just absolutely amazing what a kind-hearted, good man he was. And for all these guys out there that are doing signings, you know, and some folks just have to depend on the income coming from their signings, he donated all that stuff. So it does your heart good to see that kind of stuff. And, you know, not only did the world of wrestling lose somebody, but I think the world lost somebody when it comes down to Ivan passing, because he was just good people. And he will be sorely missed. And he left a mark. And that's all you can really ask to do in this life is, if you've changed somebody, just one person, you've done your job. And I think he's done well over that. So, like I said, now he's watching over us now, and not only us, but I think a lot of other people too. But we lost. It's a darn shame that it happened. But my best goes out to his family, and may he rest. Watch overs.
Dave, that was a wonderful statement, Papa Stroh. That was a great thing for Dave to say. Would you please add some things to that? Because I know you were a very close friend to Ivan Koloff, and he was a mentor of yours as well.
Wow, Dave pretty much said it all. Ivan, you know, just like Dave said, Ivan not only helped out a lot of us in the wrestling world that were close to him, like family, new to him, but also many others in life. He was ordained minister. He was close, he's a man of God, close to the church, a wonderful, loving family. And he helped so many people out. He helped children with the Children's Miracle Network. Like Dave said, he would donate a lot of his signings to the Children's Miracle Network and other causes. I mean, and he would really go out of his neck way people and be there for people. And it's like Dave said, you know, we lost all around great, great soul. Ivan Koloff, and now he's in heaven. He's with the Lord Jesus and watching over us all. And, you know, it's fascinating because Ivan is the type of guy, he could turn it on and turn it off like a switch. You know, he can come up to me saying, "Hey, brother, great to see you again." And then when he gets out of the ring, it's like, "Shut up, you stupid rat." You know what I mean? "Stupid American," you know. And you would never know. I mean, it's like, he would go from nice guy to beast mode just like that. And but, you know, it's like I mentioned this last night on my podcast, WCW Retro. I know if a good friend of mine, Max, who does a lot of stuff with disabled children and does an event once a year. I think you probably know Dr. John called Fishing with Special Friends.
Yeah.
He's also huge Ivan Koloff fan. Matter of fact, he said Ivan, when he used to work at the hotel, Ivan checked in one time years ago, and he got to meet Ivan and know Ivan, and he's like, even then it was like, you know, if the world knew that Ivan Koloff outside the ring, he'd be just as popular, if not more, than your Hulk Hogan's and your Rock's and Steve Austin's and Dusty Rhodes. Just the fact that he was a genuine, nice soul that would get the shirt off his back for somebody and give back to the world. And, you know, Ivan Koloff not only made his mark in the wrestling industry, you know, he was like the one guy that defeated Bruno Sammartino in the era that, at the time, Bruno Sammartino was thought to be undefeated. You know, he was the man. Pretty much similarities to a lot of fans today are comparing that to the Brock Lesnar-Goldberg feud going on right now, where Goldberg shocked the world, beating Brock Lesnar in like a minute, some seconds, right? And so, yeah. But more than that. I mean, he did. Ivan was, you know, he did it first. He was way ahead of his time. You know, he did. You know, he shocked the world. Bruno, he like we talked about earlier, he had the first ever coffin match with the late American Dream Dusty Rhodes, and he's made history his whole career. And but not aside from the wrestling, I mean, just the many people he's helped in life, and being such a good-hearted soul, helping the children, helping people find their way to God. And there's not enough good you can say about Ivan Koloff. And those of us that knew him, that loved him, that were like family to him, you know, he will always live in our hearts, and he'll always be missed by all of us.
You know, if I can add real quick to what Stro just said,
yes.
Vince McMahon, if you're listening, get on the stick, because that gentleman needs a spot in the hall without question.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe the Papa Stro fan club and Comic-Con stars and a few other folks will try to get in touch with Mr. McMahon and see what we can do. I think that would be a good project for Comic-Con stars. Don't you, Papa Stro?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, I put a little bit of information on the casket matches up, and we have two things that affect us. First of all, the first casket match was officially listed as Houston Wrestling, Dusty Rhodes versus Ivan Koloff in 1980. The last casket match that we have record of was Greg Bo Watson's son, Brett Watson, this past October the 29th in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Brett beat an unknown opponent. We're not sure who that was right now. But Comic-Con Stars is pleased to be saying great things about Ivan Koloff. And one of our close friends, Brett Watson, the son of Greg Bo Watson, the comic book artist, is the last participant in a casket match. So we're pleased that our world revolves around the great things such as Ivan Koloff and the accomplishments that he did. And it's wonderful to have people like Papa Stro and Dave Atwell who have known him. Now, and I see we have a caller from 804. Are you calling in about Ivan Koloff?
Yeah, this is Steven.
Hey,
Steven,
how you doing?
Thank you for calling in.
How are you?
I'm actually watching that Koloff Dusty match while I'm listening.
It is just spectacular, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty cool. I'm a big Undertaker fan, so I wasn't aware at first until I watched I watched like some WWE video, and they were talking about they showed Dusty Rhodes talking about the casket match or coffin match, and had me interested. And I got to meet Ivan in 2015 at WrestleCade, and got to tell him that I thought it was pretty cool that he had a coffin match before Undertaker ever did one.
That's exactly right, and thanks for bringing that up. It's an important thing. We all need to realize Ivan Koloff, along with his brother Dusty Rhodes, were absolute pioneers in this wonderful world of wrestling that we live and breathe every day. We all grew up with it down here in the Southeast, and we like it. So thanks for bringing that up. We appreciate it, and glad you're watching it. It's Ivan really takes a fall there at the end on when he does that knee drop onto the coffin.
Yeah,
that's enough to end a lot of careers, but it kept his going. So look, yeah, thanks a lot. And I tell you what, I hope you'll stay with us because we have got the best in conspiracy theories right now. I've got a couple that I'd like to bring up that have come up recently, and then we're going to get with our guest Pat Gwynn. What I can tell you is this week's been a biggie for conspiracy theories. First of all, yesterday NASA, some people call it not a straight answer, but NASA announced there was a star system that now has seven planets revolving around it, around that dwarf star, and three of them have the potential to have life as we know it. Nobody knows, but it's very exciting that we've finally proven that we may not be alone, and there's some real solid evidence that one of these planets, if not three of the seven, might actually harbor life as we know it, an oxygen-nitrogen base. Then the next thing is one of Saturn's moons, Encladius, has now been found that it might be able to have life too, because below its frozen surface is water, and it should be warm enough that we might be able to find some type of microbial life down there. The last conspiracy theory that popped up the first of this week in a lot of European newspapers is that iodine-131, a radioisotope that comes out of a nuclear explosion, has been found in trace elements all through Europe. And the United States sent one of their planes, the Constant Phoenix, which can monitor things like that to see if there was actually a nuclear incident over northern Europe / Eurasia / the Arctic. So the jury's out on that, but that would be really strange if there was some sort of nuclear incident up there. Several newspapers, The Guardian, The Independent in the UK, have reported stories on this. This story has gotten all over, so we'll keep you apprised of what's going on with all three of these things that are in space and part of the Arctic Circle. It's really exciting, but who knows what this means. Now we're going to move to our topic and our special guest. Tonight's topic is the story of Anna Nicole Smith. She was a beautiful lady. She had a very interesting past, and then she left us several years back. I'm going to go through right now kind of a timeline of Anna Nicole's life, and then want to talk to Pat Gwynn and, of course, have our panelists, Papa Stroh and Dave Atwell, join in with some questions. But a lot of strange things in the life of Anna Nicole Smith. She was born in 1967 in Houston, Texas, and her parents were divorced 2 years later. She then moved to a place called Maxon, Texas, to live with her aunt, her mother's youngest sister. She dropped out of high school, and she went and worked at Jim's Crispy Chicken, where she married the cook, Billy Wayne Smith. 9 months later, or actually nine and a half months later, she had a baby, Daniel, a young man that we certainly do remember. While she was working in 91 as a stripper at a place called Gigi's in Houston. She applied to Playboy magazine. 3 years later, she was Miss March, 1993 of Playboy. During that time, she had met J. Howard Marshall, a Texas oil millionaire. He proposed to her several times, and she kept saying, "No, I'm not going to marry you. You're married, and I want to make a name for myself." Fairly noble thing to say, especially when you're dealing with an 86-year-old multimillionaire. Well, Marshall's wife and his mistress died, and the two of them, they were married in 1994. She was 26, and he was 89. He passed away at age 90 in 1995. There was a legal battle, of course, with Marshall's estate and his sons. But that got in the background when 2002, Anna Nicole Smith premiered The Anna Nicole Show on E! With, of course, Howard Stern and her son Daniel Smith and several of her friends. Went off the air 2 years later, and at that point, Anna Nicole in 2006 weighed over 200 pounds. She lost 60 pounds, and in 2006 came out as the spokesperson for a diet company and also announced that she was pregnant. In the next year, she delivered Danny Lynn, her daughter, born in the Bahamas. Now, several folks said that they were the father of Danny Lynn, but she had moved to the Bahamas because they did not require DNA testing. Now, what happened was Danny Lynn was born on September 7th, 2006, and her brother, Daniel Smith, arrived at the hospital 2 days after she was born to be with his mother, Anna Nicole Smith, and his sister, Danny Lynn. That was on September the 9th. He arrived at 2 in the afternoon. The next morning, September 10th, 6 o'clock, one of the nurses noted that he was helping his mother. 2.5 hours later, Anna Nicole Smith was screaming because Dan, her son, would not respond, and he had passed away. And the autopsy revealed it was from methadone and several other antidepressants. So very, very sad day, and he was apparently doing well, helping his mother 2.5 hours later. At 9:30 that morning, she screamed. He was unresponsive. So what a horrible thing to happen, a complete turnaround of events. Then it wasn't several years later until Anna Nicole Smith passed away in Hollywood, Florida. She was announced dead on arrival. She was at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. It was February 8th, 2007. She died apparently of drug overdoses. Now, prior to that, every source on the internet states that Anna Nicole had had South Carolina real estate developer Ben Thompson buy her that home in which she lived in Bermuda, in the Bahamas. So Ben Thompson from South Carolina is given credit by the Charleston Post and Courier. And some very strange things happened. There's a story, and I'll quote this, and then we're going to move right into talking to Pat Gwynn, who knows a little bit about this as a native or as a longtime resident of Myrtle Beach. Here's a story I'd like to quote from the Charleston Post and Courier, Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper. A man who had an affair with Anna Nicole Smith in the last year of her life testified Tuesday she became groggy when she took medications, some of which were given to her by a defendant in the drug conspiracy case. Ben Thompson, a South Carolina developer, said he began a romantic relationship with the former Playboy model when she visited his Myrtle Beach home in the summer of 2005. At that time, she stayed in a room with him, while Howard K. Stern, her lawyer and sometimes boyfriend, stayed in a different room. Thompson remembered seeing Stern bring Anna Nicole Smith pills several times. After she swallowed them, her behavior changed. She would become all groggy, like she was in La La Land, Thompson reported. She didn't have all of her faculties. Stern, the doctor, and several other people pleaded not guilty to conspiring to provide Smith with massive doses of opiates and sedatives. They were not accused of causing her 2,000 overdose death. So, what an interesting thing. Pat Gwynn, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. It's very hard for me to understand. If someone hands you medication, you take that medication. The guy says under oath, I handed her medication. How does a jury find him not guilty of handing her medication?
Amazing, isn't it?
Well, the good old boy system works well in South Carolina, but that's a bit too well.
Well, sometimes it does. Now, one thing that you reminded me of prior to this show is you said that the name Ben Thompson didn't ring the bell with you. It was a different name of a gentleman in North Myrtle Beach. Tell us about him.
Well, the guy actually owned the home that the movie The Shag was filmed in. That's how I met Mr. Is it all right to mention his name?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. His name is Ford Shelley. Ford Shelley is now, I believe, still incarcerated in federal prison in South Carolina for embezzlement. He was a real estate agent who did a great deal of, you can Google the gentleman's name, including his own parents funding homes that were to never be built. And he and some other people pocketed the money, and you know where the story goes from there. But I recall back at that time that he was brought in for deposition as well during those hearings because of the relationship that he and his wife had with Anna Nicole. The sources that I have, and I sound like a CNN reporter, which scares me, the people that I'm aware of are associated through the school system and actually taught one of the children of the Ford family. And some of those things were relayed to her, and I was told those things. So as a risk of not getting in trouble, or he said, she said, there was a lot of conjecture and just some bizarre behavior going on during that time period. The home, for example, that they lived in has since been torn down on 50th Avenue at Ocean Boulevard, where that movie The Shag was filmed. Just coincidental, it was right after all that occurred. I do know that Anna Nicole was here quite a few times in the North Myrtle Beach and Myrtle Beach area. I've even heard stories that, hey, Anna Nicole isn't dead. I hear all kinds of things. I hear her son is a student at a local university. So it's still bizarre. Was it a double that... I just don't know where to go with that.
I think I agree with you. And everybody, you can join in. I've looked on the internet, and Anna Nicole seems to have so many different faces since about 1995. She seems to look different all the time. And I believe the Anna Nicole that was Danny Lynn's mother, there's a picture of her holding Danny Lynn. There's a picture of her going to court, and that's about it.
Right.
She just really does look a lot different. And body doubles, Papa Stroh, we've talked about body doubles before. There are many times that we have seen folks that they don't quite seem to be right. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, quite a few cases. And it is funny because, like, the latter – Anna Nicole, with the apparent weight loss, something just didn't seem quite kosher for some reason.
The chin line was not the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's
that
exactly.
was one, and she truly didn't look like a Playboy model.
No,
not at that point. But I hear childbirth will do that to a woman.
Well, this was her second
child. You can do it to a man, too, if you're not careful.
Well, that's called marriage.
All right, Dave. Dave, thank you very much for that. for that wonderful insight. We'll Papa Stroh, Pat, we'll never forget that one, will we?
Well, the worst, awesome. You know, one of the key things I heard was him giving credit to TBS, Ted Turner's broadcasting system, for giving us the Braves.
Yes, sir.
But you also have to fault him for giving us CNN. So
yeah,
there's that.
Yeah, well, that was back when CNN was actually human, and not to get off on a tangent, but I mean that actually reported the news back then. But now, I mean, even Cronkite, for as far out as he was, he reported the news. But this stuff
Absolutely.
Now is nothing less than tabloid. And unfortunately,
maybe it was due to Jane Fonda. You know, I mean, maybe she had
it. Had maybe
probably did. Yeah, great deal of it. It's a TMZ on steroids.
That's what we need to discuss. Her diamond-coated
exactly
Braves
right.
hat that she used to wear at the games. Do you remember that when she stood there and had that bling hat going on?
Yes, sir.
And
I do.
I'm going, God, they can't pay Dale Murphy any more money, but she can wear that hat, for crying out loud. You know, it's, guys, come
exactly.
on, let's find some players here, you know,
where the
exactly.
big boys play.
Yeah.
Well, yes, WTBS should bring us a lot, but.
If you don't mind me kicking in on the Anna Nicole thing, I'm going to play the devil's advocate on this one. Normally I join in the fray and, you know, agree on, you know, most things that we, you know, talk about on conspiracy theories. I'm going to be honest with you on Anna Nicole Smith. Number one, and it's going to sound wrong. Who cares? I know it's a horrible thing to say.
Tell us what you think. That's why we're here. Tell us what you think.
Well, the doctor told him not to hold back anymore.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm not. And if you're around me for more than 5 minutes, you could tell rarely do I show any type of restraint when it comes down to how I'm thinking, you know. But obviously her lifestyle from day one, you know, you just – Dr. John, you basically chronicled her from birth to, you know, cradle to grave. Her life has been far from what you would describe as the nuclear family. Just one broken family dynamic after another, yada, yada, yada. Right. And so any type of normalcy, you would probably, any type of conventional thinking that the quote-unquote regular guy would have, doesn't apply to her, because nothing about her existence was ever regular. So
not even the cartoon.
More conventional. Exactly. So
the cartoon.
What I'd like to throw out there, even though we've spoken about body doubles and everything in the past with the conspiracy theories, this is the one thing that if any of this monkey business about her being in Myrtle Beach and running off with a real estate guy is true, the only thing that applied to it, and none of us have ever spoken about it, is what I always call pulling an Eddie in the Cruisers. In other words, you've reached a point in your life where you feel like there's nothing more you can do to, I don't want to say it, to endure another day's worth of living, okay? And you basically fake your death, and do any type of alterations, be it shave your head, grow a beard. You know, Michael Pare did. You know, he grew his hair out, grew the beard and everything. But that would be probably the most digestible piece of possibility that I could take from this whole case, is the fact that but my question is And again, here we go, it's not going to come off right, but when you have fame and you have money, what was it Joe Pesci said at the end of that Rodney Dangerfield movie, Easy Money? He says, money can't buy you happiness, but it lets you pick your own misery.
True story. Yeah.
You know, when your Taco Bell broke and, you know, the guys – got his ratchet inside the meter on the side of your house and the lights start blinking, that's broke. Okay, but
right.
You can't tell me that Anna Nicole Smith was so gassed that there was nothing she can do. Nevertheless,
I like the part where he shook Rodney Dangerfield and said, "Think of me, you bum."
Yeah, yeah. Think of your kids. Hey, think about me. But you know, is there a possibility that her and her unstable lifestyle and unstable state of mind could have possibly said, for any reason, "Hey, I can't take this no more. I just want to die." And the little chocolate and the peanut butter moment she had in her mind. And instead of taking her life, like unfortunately a lot of celebrities have, could she have orchestrated? And she would have had to have some help, for God's sake. There's no way she could have dreamt all this up on her own. But could she have had some help faking her death? And, you know, because with her, she stands out in the crowd. She's just not going to be one of these ones that, oops, I'm being attacked by the household English Mastiff. Sorry about that, guys. You get a 125-pound dog charging and you're sitting in a recliner or something. Anywho.
Wolf. Big bad wolf.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like Cujo coming into the living room here.
That's Christopher Walken.
But there's,
wolf, wolf.
There is no way that she'd be able to pull that off alone. So if I had to throw anything out there, 98% of me says she's dead. But is there that 2% that could say, you know, body doubles, nah, you know, all that kind of stuff, nah. But I could see her quite possibly pulling an Eddie and the Cruisers somehow or another.
Pulling a disappearing act, huh?
Yeah, and if you're going to turn up somewhere, why not turn up in Myrtle Beach? It's fantastic, man. You got the Pelicans down there. You got Broadway. You got Mellow Mushroom Pizza. I mean, if I'm going to go fake my death and go pile up somewhere, it'll be Myrtle Beach.
Hey, she might,
I mean, you got
Pat Mike Lynn at the beach.
I had never pictured Myrtle Beach as the place to run to if you want to die. Or
she might have a cameo in the next Magic Mike movie. You never.
Oh, well, there you go. Film that right.
Or
up
if you want to
right
hide
up the street there.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Tell you what, we got a phone call. Who's from area code 215? Is that Philadelphia?
Hi. Yes. Long time listener, first time caller. My name is Brady. How's it going?
Is this the one
Brady,
and only Brady Hicks?
What's going on, guys? You know, I wanted to clear up a mystery. Adam and Nicole Smith has been hiding in my bedroom for the last 10 years, just so you know.
All right.
No.
And then you woke up.
So she's dismembered, so now I'm only
so
kidding.
So it was a Magic Mike movie. Magic Mike, right?
This is
no,
Magic
I mean,
Mike.
You know, you know what they say, like, you know, the buffet, you go for the buffet, maybe you go for the steak, but the fish ends up being more appealing. I called in because of Ivy stuff, but this Anna Nicole stuff, I mean, my God, this is, I never really thought about it that much. I always kind of assumed she was too dumb to fake her own death.
Wow.
That's what I'm thinking. She's got to have some help somewhere down the line.
Right, or she's dead.
And in the event that anybody's wondering out there listening right now, no, I will tell you right now, I am in fact not the father to her children.
I appreciate your clearing that one up.
Absolutely. I'm sure there's some people out there wondering right now, so I want to get that cleared up.
And I want to make sure everybody knows Brady Hicks is the founder and the head of VOC Nation, of which we're very proud to be a part of. And boy, Brady, it's awesome to have you on here. And you picked probably the most Myrtle Beach topic of all, which is Anna Nicole Smith.
It's fascinating for me, and I'm sorry it took me so long to get on, but I'm so glad that I called in. And for the record, I will be faking my own death next week. So just leaving all this behind me.
Tell Tupac I said hello.
Yeah. I was going to say, how could I ever do that? There's a video on the YouTube where it was the real reason why Tupac died, and it was because he ate Mr. T's Cheetos.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I could see that happening.
It was something. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's fascinating stuff. I could never fake my own death. I mean, just, just the thought of like thinking of not getting to interact with the Stro or Dr. John or anybody else on the Spy Network. Can you imagine, Stro? Can you imagine the first week that Dustin calls in and you have to tell him that I'm gone?
That'd be tragic.
Oh my goodness, that'd be worse than Seth Rollins.
Yeah. You're gone and you're dating a real estate magnate from Myrtle Beach. That would be the real bad news.
That would be worse than dying.
we got a great movie plot right here. This is a great movie. Sterling will have to produce it and star you in it. And
oh, Brady, no.
Maybe we could do a movie where like I'm dead and you just like drag me around and pretend that I'm alive.
Oh, like wow. Big Show? Oh my God, Boss Man!
Weekend at Bernie's, you know?
Yeah, like Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
See, I took a serious discussion and I ruined it. That's what I do. I'm the eater of shows, I guess you'd say.
No, that's all right. We're glad you're here, Brady. Trust me.
I am too. This is really special. And Anna Nicole Smith has always fascinated me, so it's interesting to hear this discussion.
She's a fascinating character, and I've lived in Myrtle Beach almost 20 years, and a lot of us saw Anna Nicole when she was down here. She wasn't hard to recognize, especially I used to live in Cherry Grove Beach, and she'd be out there on the beach, and it was very clear it was her, and early on, her son Daniel was with her. I'm sure that's who it was. And you know, we saw them. They were part of our crazy culture down here. Pat Gwynn, you've been around Myrtle Beach for a long, long time, and we do have a crazy culture down here with the entertainers, don't we?
Oh, it really is. I was this will blow your mind. I go in for an oil change one day in Pawleys Island, and they said it'll be about 15, 20 minutes, if you will. Just have a seat in the lobby. I walk in the lobby, and there sits Oliver North.
Wow.
True story. Wow. It was right after the Iran-Contra affair, the arms for sale event. So he was here. He had a place in Debadoo. It's a very exclusive community on the ocean. They're in Georgetown County near Pawleys Island. Mickey Spillane was here. He lived here for quite a while and recently passed away. Vanna White, of course, is from here, and you can see her on occasion at one of the seafood restaurants when she comes home to visit Mama. So, it's an eclectic group of people that come through here and stay here a great deal during the year.
And
you
also
really mentioned
one of the greatest coaches of all time, that being Joe Gibbs of the Washington Redskins. Hail to the Redskins.
Absolutely. He does. Yep.
But, you know, again, speaking on the whole fake your death thing, and you just hit the nail on the head, if you want to fake your death and do it correctly, you don't go to Myrtle Beach where you stick out like a turd in a punch bowl.
Oh.
You would go to somewhere like Mayville. And Stroh, you know where Mayville is at.
Mayville, yeah.
Or you go up to Bowman, South Carolina, where the UFO Center is, and just hang out and wait for your ride.
Absolutely. I mean, why would you go in such a place like, and that's what I'm saying, but with her, the variables don't fit because she is or was such an unstable personality that the things that you would say, nobody would do something like that. You'd have to apply it to her because, like I said, it was so unconventional, so unstable that nothing really, I mean, she could have run off with the Loch Ness Monster for all we know. Because of how just out there she was.
She may have even tried to fly the helicopter like she did in the movie.
Good point.
Well, maybe she had Harrison Ford flying for her.
Right?
Yeah, Harrison Ford, he doesn't need to be in any more planes, man.
He was flying today. They let him
solo,
take a helicopter up. Yeah. They allowed him to fly a helicopter today.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Bob.
They're still investigating.
Dewey needs to take over.
Because he had another near miss last week, didn't he?
He did. Yes, sir. Went right over a runway. Went over an American jet on the runway.
Great.
There.
Yeah, I think you thought it was a Star Destroyer.
Well, someone took a
picture
of all
that. Well, of course, he doesn't have to play Han Solo anymore. You know, spoiler alert.
That's true. That's right.
It doesn't look like we're going to get any more Indiana Jones flicks.
Indiana Jones theme song while flying over the planes.
Yeah, for crying out loud, though, man. You don't have to do it in real life. You know what I mean? Thanks for the movie.
Right.
The Mola Ram was great, but, man, don't do it in real life, all right?
His whip can't save him there.
Yeah, nope. No kidding.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
But short round
it's
say,
crazy.
Hold on, lady, we going for a ride.
Hang on your potatoes.
You call him Dr. Jones doll. Oh, man.
Brady, I guess now you see what a crazy time we have on air.
Yeah,
it is a unique day.
I do.
it's nuts. I mean, there's so many great conspiracy theories, and we don't know. I'll tell you guys a quick story. When the Weekly World News used to be published down in Lantana, Florida, I was a professor at Clemson University. Oh, I did too. It was one of my favorites. And the daughter of the publisher went to Clemson University. And I happened to meet her at a pizza place, and she was talking about the magazine and all this, and I thought it was great. And she told me what to do to get published in the Weekly World News. I said, okay. Well, I had an office on Strode Circle. And every once in a while, a black limo would drive by, and it had a license plate that said Elvis. And it was Elvis 1 or something. And it was from Nevada. And I did a little bit of research, and there was a well-known developer in Clemson who had purchased that car from Elvis Presley's estate. And I realized this is my opportunity to get published in the Weekly World News. I kept my camera by myself. And then all of a sudden, one day, the car comes driving by slowly, and I ran out and took a picture from behind it with the license plate and everything. And I submitted a story that got in the Weekly World News, and it said, "Is Elvis still alive? ? This limousine owned by Elvis Presley has been seen driving around Clemson, South Carolina, a convenient place for the wealthy to hide. There's someone in the back seat. There's a chauffeur driving. Draw your own conclusion." And that was in the Weekly World News, and I found out how to write. Brady, that's how you write a Weekly World News story.
Wow, now
sure
you're
wasn't
qualified.
Wasn't the honky tonk man?
Now you're.
Pardon?
Now you're qualified. Go ahead.
Sure wasn't the honky tonk man.
It might have been. I was going to say, now you're qualified to write. Go ahead, sorry.
No, to write for whom?
Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Now you're all set.
Really? Well, let me know.
No.
Let me know. I can pull one like that. No,
I'm kidding. It doesn't work like that anymore. Maybe in the 80s.
Wow.
I always thought you had to go on Bat Boy in order to get in Weekly World News. That's what I always thought.
Well, they had filler on the inside, so.
Okay.
And now it's the National. Now it's the National Examiner. They have taken over, and they, you know, I'm waiting for Bat Boy, but we had James Dean is still alive and didn't die in the car wreck, and so we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and that was directly from the National Examiner. So at least I've got somewhere else to send my subscription money.
Oh, that's great! I didn't realize that anything like that existed anymore.
That's right. It's the National Examiner. Now, Pat Glenn, we've got to get the National Examiner folks on your show.
Well,
they
found all the emails that Hillary lost. I think they're going to publish those next.
Oh, nice.
that she lost? I don't think she lost any emails. They might have found them, but I don't know if she lost them.
Yeah, they're out there somewhere.
They really are. Ed Snowden has them. I listened to some of his interviews last night, and they're kind of crazy, but they're kind of interesting. They'll keep you going. So anyway, let's take a last round on Anna Nicole Smith. I'm going to start with the one and only, Papa Stro Maestro. What do you think? Two thumbs up, two thumbs down, or unclear as to what happened? What do you think?
Ah.
Die.
Honestly,
die.
Nah, thumbs down.
Thumbs down. No, no conspiracy. All right. There's okay. I'm gonna take a poll here. No one. All right. Our special surprise guest Brady Hicks. Yes, no, or maybe.
And this is for Anna Nicole Smith.
Yes, sir.
No.
No. All right, Pat Gwynn,
no.
Our special guest from Pat Gwynn at the Beach. Pardon?
I believe that
Anna was delusional. I believe that the medication and the people that controlled her to a point where they actually killed her and no one was held responsible for her death. I believe that there's some people that got away with murder, stole all of her money, stole all of the fame and fortune, went off into the sunset and living their life as they wish while our child grows up without a parent. And as Dave said, as the author said, it was a dysfunctional life from the beginning, from childhood, going into stripping into clubs, and God only knows what all occurred at that point, from prostitution. I think anyone that does that is prostituting themselves, whether there's sex involved or not. When you lower yourself and your self-esteem is that low, you'll stoop to anything to grasp onto something. Conspiracy theory, two thumbs down. I believe the lady is dead, and may she finally find peace in not living the life that she sadly chose to walk in.
Okay. So three no's. Dave Atwell, what do you have?
I totally agree what Pat just said. I mean, you couldn't have said it better. I don't give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I give it the finger.
Yes. Two fingers. There you go.
Yes.
All right.
The
so
salute.
Are you the yes, no, or the
that's
maybe?
Too graphic for me.
Yeah.
He went all
I'm
dark
the,
and dirty on us.
I am the absolutely not, I've got bigger fish to fry guy.
There okay. All right. Well, Dr. John will say, I'm not sure, because there's too much Myrtle Beach involved. But too many people
that
have seen Anna Nicole Smith. Pardon?
That's Myrtle. Wow.
Myrtle Beach will mess up your day. I promise you that.
Mm-hmm. It will. And I'm going to put this out. So I guess the official verdict is four no's and one maybe. So the official verdict from Comic-Con Stars and Conspiracy Theories 101 is no. But I'll leave the material up on the website so that if anybody wants to take a look, and I might post a couple of photos that just still bother me, and we'll see. But we'll call this one case closed.
Are they from the March issue, the photos that you're going to publish?
Oh. No, sir. Actually, I'm going to post the ones from the hospital. Probably won't do that one on Comic-Con Stars, but yes, I think everybody can go find the 1993 issue of Playboy. And I'm sure it was quite an intellectual endeavor. But,
well, she needed a Myrtle Beach coloring book. I can promise you that.
Okay, that's exactly right. All right, well,
those crayons put them to work.
First of all, I got to say thanks to everybody, thanks to our callers, thanks to Brady Hick, thanks to Pat Gwynn, Dave Atwell, Papa Stroh, and now I'm going to do something that Papa Stroh taught me. He taught me to go around to everybody and say, what have you got to plug this week? So I'm going to start with our fearless leader,
I love
Brady,
that Brady
Hick. What do you have to post? What do you have to promote this week?
Oh, boy. Wow. Okay. Well, you can check out my my work in Pro Wrestling Illustrated on the on newsstands everywhere. You can check out
VOC Nation, but you probably are if you're listening to this. Well, I guess not, because it is on the Comic-Con Stars website as well. But VOCNation.com. Mm-hmm. Stro and I do In the Room every Tuesday night live, 9, 8 Central, 9 to 11. That's every Tuesday night. I also write for The Inquisitor. Everybody check that out. And what else? I'm a really big Alexa Bliss fan. I've been stalking Alexa Bliss on Facebook, so no, I don't sleep. That's pretty much been my life lately.
Congratulations.
Well, I didn't
all
get
right.
Yet,
well, thanks.
So. Thank you.
Okay, Pat Gwynn, our special guest tonight. What do you have to plug for this week?
Well, I think it was a great event to be a part of. It's great to talk with all of you guys. This is the highlight of our week. How about that?
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Outstanding.
I know that we can hear you in New York on WOLD on Friday night at midnight going into Saturday. We can hear you in Chicago and a number of other places. So you just got a world plug, and check you out at originalbeachparty.com. And thank you so much. It's wonderful to have you here with us. Dave Atwell, what have you got to plug this week?
Kind of repeating from last week, it's wrapped up the revisions on the three novels, and we're getting ready to relaunch into the Amazon ocean there coming up in March. But the one thing I'd really like to make the shout for, there's three local shows that have announced their dates. And they're all three shows that I plan on attending. And that'll be X-Con in Myrtle Beach. That'll be the Cape Fear Con in Wilmington and the Crystal Coast Con at Cape Carteret. All three shows, it's the old Goldilocks thing. They're not too big, they're not too small, but they're just right. And if you want to take the family out and go to a con, if you've never been to one, you're missing out. I'll go ahead and tell you now, if you've never been to a con, you're spinning your wheels, because they are the most fun. You go to a ball game and you wear the opposing jersey, and somebody's going to be running their mouth to you. At a con, everybody's your friend. So
nice.
Those shows are just right. Great interaction. Great way to get some quality time with some folks you see on your favorite television shows or radio, artists, writers, you name it. Fantastic shows. So look those up, and you might end up seeing me floating around on a few of them. Just try not to look at the picture. It'll turn you to stone.
Okay. All right. Before I ask our last guest/guest host tonight, I want to say, this coming, it is March the 4th, Richmond, Papa Stro Maestro will be wrestling Corey Bush, the rematch for the U.S. Heavyweight Championship. And after that's over, we will be at Dave and Buster's in Richmond. Comic-Con Stars will be hosting the first event of the Papa Stro Maestro Fan Club. Be sure to tell us online on Facebook. You'll be with us. And now we'll let Papa Stro say good night. We got 10 seconds, and then we're headed out. Papa Stro?
Oh, yeah. Besides the podcast coming up with Brady Hicks, myself, and yourself, Dr. John, and the Dave and Buster's event, this Saturday and Sunday I'll be with you, Dr. John, at Captain's Comic Expo, 25th and 26th, at the Omar Shrine in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Checkpoints out in theaters this month. Check it out when it's in your area. It'll be on Netflix next month in March. For more info, go to facebook.com/checkpointmovie. And for all the latest on TV, wrestling, and film, go to my official website at thestro.com, Facebook, Stro the Maestro, Twitter at thestro, and on Instagram at Stro Maestro.
Thanks a lot. Thanks to Pat Gwynn. Thanks to Brady Hicks, our special and unannounced guest. Papa Stro Maestro, and the new head of the Papa Stro Maestro Fan Club, me and Dave Atwell. Thanks a lot to everybody. We'll see you next week on VOC Nation and Comic-Con Stars. Have a good one.
Hey, good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.